today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
The Word of God is absolute truth. The vast majority of people don't believe today in absolute truth, but we do. This is God's truth. It's been revealed by God in His Word. And your salvation, your personal salvation, please hear me, depends on hearing, believing, and obeying the Word of God.
Welcome to The Verdict, the daily radio program featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. The new year is almost here. Are you making plans or resolutions? Today we're going to prepare as John presents a special challenge that goes to the very heart of what you believe. Let's begin the new year by being more authentic in our faith. It involves a choice. Are you ready? Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce today's message.
Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? As we near the end of this year, I thought it very important that we deal with this subject. It's not just that we believe the Bible contains ancient history, some inspiring stories and religious platitudes. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. That is, when the Bible speaks, God is speaking. And because the Bible is from God, it is authoritative and must be obeyed. After all, there's little point in believing that the Bible is the Word of God if we disregard it in our daily lives. And the Bible is not written just to give us information, but it is from God to lead us to salvation and to transform our lives. Obey the Word of God. It's important that we reaffirm, that we understand our commitment to the Holy Scriptures as the Word of God. So we're going to open our Bible. There seems to be less and less churches doing that, but we do that because this is our commitment to Scripture. I'd love you to come with your Bible. We believe that each one of us must not only own a Bible, but read it and obey it. If it is true, as Thomas Chalmers said, that the sum and substance of the preparation needed for coming eternity is that you believe what the Bible tells you and do what the Bible bids you, you'll understand that we must not only know about the Bible, not only have some information about the Bible, but we must in fact delight in the Bible. We must love the Word of God and obey the Word of God. Without the power of God unleashed in your life, without you knowing and obeying the Word of God, when you attend church, you may have an entertaining time, you may have an emotional experience, you may have cultural Christianity, you may have political or social activism from the pulpit, you may leave feeling very good about yourself, but there will be no lasting spiritual impact in your life without the Word of God. No food for your soul, no preparation for your eternal destiny. We believe that the grass withers, the flower fades. Think of the past. It's gone. All that you did, all that you said is gone. Another year. Yes, we believe that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our Lord stands forever. And what you think may be very, very important withers and is gone and is utterly meaningless. All of your efforts spent in so many things are worth absolutely nothing, but this we know, that the Word of God stands forever. Our Lord Jesus said, quoting the Old Testament, that man shall not live by bread alone. That is, we do not live just by the material things of life. Yes, we need that. We need bread. We need these things. We need bodily exercise. That is true. But we do not live by bread alone, but by every word. Notice that, every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, if you believe that, it is essential then that we know the Bible, that we study the Bible, that we memorize the Bible, and we obey it. I hope you've got your Bible there. So turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, Paul's last writing to young Timothy. Paul is passing on the baton, as it were, to young Timothy. And he's writing to him in these very, very important verses that I want us to read together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 14. Paul has already said earlier in the epistle that Timothy should guard the deposit of truth which is given to him. We don't make up our own ideas. We don't formulate our own doctrine. We don't say this is the kind of church we'll be. We conform it to the word of God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 14, Paul is saying to Timothy, as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed. We don't believe in brainwashing. We're not a cult. That's why we want you to come with your Bible. If what you hear from this pulpit, if what you hear from your life group, if you hear from what your Bible study, ideas, if they don't conform to the word of God, doesn't matter who's saying it, reject it. You need to firmly believe the truth. So that's why I'd like you to come with your Bible, so that you know what I'm saying is in fact the word of God. Says Paul here, verse 14. Continuing what you've learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you've learned it, be the godly mother and grandmother, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able, notice this, here is what the word of God does, it's able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Timothy, I'm about to go. I'm telling you what the Bible is. It's the very word of God. It's breathed out by God. It's profitable, and I want you to preach the word. Not your own ideas, but preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming. Isn't this interesting? Reading in the first century. Paul could have been writing yesterday. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. How wonderful that we have these words to strengthen our faith in God and his word. The Bible then is the word of God, and it is our authority. The Bible is absolutely authoritative because God is the author. If we believe, as I do personally, as our pastors and leaders do, and our members do, that this is the inspired word of God, if we believe that, then clearly the Bible is authoritative. Over and over again, as you read the word of God, we read expressions like this. The Lord said, the Lord spake, the word of God came saying. That is, when God speaks, or when the Bible speaks, God speaks. Paul has said, it's breathed out by God, it's inspired by God. It comes from God. It has its origin not in man, but in God. So that when you read the word of God, God is speaking. You want to know what God says? Read his word. He's spoken. He's revealed himself. So our authority is not in our traditions. It's not in our confessions. And our authority, please hear me, is not in ourselves. It's not in our experiences. It's not in our personal feelings or opinions, which is the trend of today, isn't it? It is in God's word. See, we believe that left to ourselves, we would never ever arrive at the truth. Why is that? Because sin has entered our universe, and sin has darkened our minds. Sin has hardened our hearts. Sin has captured our wills. And so God, in his grace, our creator, has spoken to us in his word. And so we believe that this word, the word of God, is absolute truth. The vast majority of people don't believe today in absolute truth, but we do. This is God's truth. It's been revealed by God in His Word. And your salvation, your personal salvation, please hear me, depends on hearing, believing, and obeying the Word of God. So Paul writes in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Paul has said to Timothy, Timothy, from childhood, from infancy, from your earliest memory, you have learned the Holy Scriptures. He was taught them by his mother and by his grandmother, Timothy. You know that. Paul had taught Timothy himself. From childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. How are you going to have the spiritual wisdom? How are you going to be saved? How can you have a right relationship with God by trying to work out your own ideas, by going along with the culture, by going along with your feelings, by believing in yourself? Absolutely not. God has come into our world. We celebrated that just a few days ago at Christmas, that God has entered into our world, into time and space, in Jesus Christ, who comes as the deliverer, as the savior. And hearing and obeying God's eternal truth results in spiritual transformation, supernatural transformation. Do you believe that you can be supernaturally transformed? Do you believe that you can be changed by God? People find themselves in terrible situations, often because of their own sin, their own bad choices, and people feel hopeless. With God, there are no hopeless cases. The only hopeless case is those who reject God's word. The only hopeless case is for those who decide to go to do their own way rather than God's way, who go the broad road which leads to destruction rather than the narrow way, God's way, which leads to life. Now, we're not surprised when God's word is attacked. Satan has always attacked the word of God. Jesus describes our enemy as the father of lies. God is absolute truth. God cannot lie. Satan always lies. He's a father of lies. He's 100% deceitful. And so the first recorded question in the Bible is by Satan to Eve, as Satan comes to Eve and says, did God actually say that? I mean, come on. Let's think about this, Eve. Did God actually say that? Satan's always saying that. Is that really what God says? Did the Bible really say that? I mean, is that really true? And so Satan comes, and what's he doing? He's attacking the word of God. He's tempting Eve to question the truthfulness, the accuracy, the authority of the word of God. That's what he continues to do, to attack the reliability, the authority, the accuracy of the word of God. Did God actually say that? Are you actually saying that? The answer is yes. If God says it, I believe it. I accept it because it is the living word of God. How different from the common mindset in our society? Our society teaches you, demonstrates that each person is his or her own authority. I am my own authority in interpreting my life. I am my own authority in determining my plan, my right plan, and for me. This is, that might be okay for you, but this is my plan. This is the way I'm going to go. And what are we doing? We're making ourselves as the authority. And it's very sad when people claim to believe in God, when people claim to believe in the Bible, but still make themselves the absolute and the ultimate authority. So what do we constantly hear in our society? Even in some so-called churches? Follow your own heart. Boy, is that bad advice. Follow your own, just follow your intuition. Follow your gut feeling. Do what is right for you. And over again we hear, be true to yourself. Notice what's happened. Instead of the authority being here, the authority is now in me. I am the authority. You cannot tell me what to do. You do your own thing. I couldn't care less. I authenticate you, you authenticate me, but I am going to do my own thing. I am going to be true to myself. So when I was a young man in my teens, early 20s, myself and all of my contemporaries, raised in Christian families and in Bible-believing churches, we were taught that you only married someone, you only had a marriage in the Lord. You only married a believer. And I knew that if I ever dated a young woman, the first question, and really the only question that my parents would ask would be, is she walking with God? Not just is she a professing believer in Jesus Christ, but is she an authentic follower of Jesus Christ? That would be the main question. Is that true today? What do we hear? Even in Christian circles, I hear even professing believers saying, well, this person makes me happy. So now we've done a dramatic change from the authority of Scripture into what makes you happy. And that philosophy has penetrated our churches. Biblical doctrine, biblical exposition are marginalized or ignored. I had someone say to me who was sitting here, I said, well, you know, we really don't need doctrine, John. We just all love Jesus, don't we? Isn't that enough? Who is Jesus? That's doctrine, right? Why should we love Jesus? What does it mean to love Jesus? I mean, all of these questions are doctrinal. How trite, how foolish, how deceived to say that we don't need to be taught doctrine or to think of the deep truths of Scripture. But the idea is, who cares about doctrine? Who cares about biblical exposition? It's all about having an experience. I go to church and I want some excitement. I want to leave feeling good about myself. I want to be pumped up. And the greater the emotion and the greater the hoopla, the better I feel. Seems then that truth doesn't really matter. In fact, truth is boring. It's all about having fun. And in this way, God's word, God's truth are undermined, ignored, marginalized, and replaced by what? Replaced by our personal psychological well-being. Isn't that happening? That's what happens out there in our culture. It's all about your personal psychological well-being. It's all about you. It's all about how you feel, your happiness, your ideas, your views. That's the authority. And you come to church and you want that to be reinforced. And God's word is saying, this is absolute nonsense. This is diametrically opposed to the word of God. That's the way of Satan. God actually said that, you know, Eve, if you do that, you're going to experience. You'll have a new experience, good and evil. I mean, God's keeping that from you. You go ahead. And this idea that everything has to reinforce our psychological well-being, that our feeling, our personal happiness, we're so fragile people, aren't we, nowadays? It's all about me. And so when that pervades the church, as it is happening so often, we are kept in perpetual immaturity and we're kept in perpetual shallowness. No, this book, the Bible, is the perfect, indestructible word of God. It remains forever and it is our authority. And we must, as we know the word of God, then be able to discern truth from error. We've got to be able to discern, as it were, spiritual junk food from the living word of God. Let me ask you to turn to a passage which will help us in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read first of all the first three verses. What am I saying to you today? I'm saying, read your Bible. We have a reading plan online that you may find helpful, or devise your own reading plan. But commit to read the Bible every day. Not only read it, but to obey it.
And obeying the word of God, Peter is saying, results in spiritual growth. You will not grow spiritually without the word of God. Now listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter 2 verse 1, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Here's the way to spiritual maturity. You want to grow up? Long for the word of God. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. You see, your spiritual life, this supernatural transformation, begins with the word of God. We are saved by the miracle of the new birth. How does that come about? By the living and abiding word of God. Look back to chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Since you've been born again, what's born again? Born from heaven, the new birth. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Don't you love that? Here is spiritual transformation through the living and abiding word of God. For Peter knows his Bible. He's going to quote it. All flesh is like grass, and all his glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. He's quoting from Isaiah 40. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news, is the gospel that was preached to you. All else in life withers and dies, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This is why we preach and teach the Bible. As authentic followers of Jesus, notice what Peter is saying. We are to long, verse 2 of chapter 2, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word in order to grow. And Peter uses an analogy that we can all understand. He uses the analogy of the newborn baby longing for milk. I mean, the strong desire of a baby, a newborn baby, is not for a cute outfit. It's not for a fancy nursery. It's not for an expensive toy. What does the baby want? It wants milk.
You're listening to Pastor John Monroe, and this is The Verdict. Today's message is titled, Obey the Word of God. And John has more to share in just a moment, so be sure to keep listening. Many people today are struggling to find peace and security. Questions and opinions about sin, salvation, judgment, and why it all matters seem to be all around us. But we need to be clear on what God says. That's why John wrote a new booklet titled, Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. He shares a bit of his own testimony, along with a careful examination of Scripture, to help you better understand Scripture in the light of the questions and doubts you may have. This new booklet is completely free by mail or download. Just visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And be sure to also sign up for John's monthly email list to be the first to know about upcoming resources and ministry updates. Again, it's all at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. The Verdict is a nonprofit ministry of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word every day, everywhere we can, so that as many people as possible will hear the gospel and come to a verdict of their own. And in order to do that, we rely on the generous donations of faithful listeners like you. To give a special New Year's donation today, visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? I trust it is authoritative in your life. And although our enemy tries to cause doubt and confusion, I trust your life will have as its foundation, not your own ideas or experiences or desires, but rather be grounded in Holy Scripture. All of Scripture points to our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is described as the Word of God. Tune in next time as we continue to think of the impact of the Word of God in our lives.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.